Welcome to Historically St. Pete, a weekly conversation where we explore the truths and the myths of the people and events that have created the Sunshine City. Hi, my name is Rui Frias, and I have the coolest job in town. I'm the executive director of the St. Pete Museum of History. Located on the St. Pete Pier, the museum has been sharing the stories of the Sunshine City for 103 years now, and we're really happy to share them with you here on Radio St. Pete. So one time, back in the 1930s, the city of St. Petersburg actually had five airports. Now, a couple were water-based for seaplanes, but still five airports in little, you know, fishing village of St. Petersburg. A lot of people don't realize still today the aviation history that our city has. So much more than just the Benoit Janus flight or first flight back in 1914. So today we're going to discuss our largest airport, Albert Whitted, located on the downtown waterfront. Named after James Albert Whitted, a young man who was born and raised in St. Pete, fell in love with aviation, became a naval aviator during World War I. After the war, he returns to St. Pete and takes off with his plane, the Falcon, took people for rides, took lots of aerial photographs of St. Petersburg. We actually, in the museum's archives, was mailed a box of photographs from someone in Wisconsin. And as we're looking through the photographs, I'm looking at all these aerial photographs, and it has the pilot standing on the wing of the plane, and it was Albert Whitted who had taken all those photographs. And the person who owned those very graciously donated them to us. So we have these amazing aerials that were taken by Albert Whitted. So during this time, he still trains pilots. He's still at the Pensacola Naval Air Base training pilots, where back in 1923, when he was in a flight over the bay, the propeller came off his plane, tore through the wing, and he crashes and perishes in Pensacola Bay. So when the city opened the airport in 1929, of course, they named it after our flying hero. So a little bit of history on Albert Whitted. Actually, prior to the airport even being built, or the land even being dredged to build Albert Whitted, a pilot took off flying a Wright Flyer from a sandbar that was located there back in 1912. When the airport opens in 1929, it becomes one of the first homes of the Goodyear blimp fleet. They arrive in 1930 to bolster tourism here during the Great Depression. Listen, there's nothing we won't do, right, when it comes to tourism here in St. Petersburg. Back in 1934, a young man founded an airline called National Airlines that was founded at Albert Whitted, flying routes and mail to the Caribbean and other points around America. Before the airline actually outgrew St. Petersburg and ended up moving to the Miami area. But in 1942, Albert Whitted Airport and St. Peter's is basically introduced to Americans who had never stepped foot previously in Florida. The U.S. Army Air Corps invaded St. Petersburg. 100,000 men passed through the Sunshine City. Now, you got to remember that when we were training those 9 million men and women to fight in World War II, the federal government was looking to build a number of training facilities throughout the nation until the state of Florida raised its hand and said, listen, we have everything you need, right? We have hundreds of thousands of empty hotel rooms. We have tons of airports. We have 1,000 miles of beaches you can practice landing on. We have the same climate as the Pacific. We have, you know, the heat and mosquitoes as big as pigeons, right? So come on down and bring the military with you. And they did by the millions. So fighter pilots arrived at Albert Whitted, bomber pilots trained out of MacDill Field as well. So Albert Whitted Airport has had this long history here in St. Petersburg. It's been part of our culture since 1929, so for nearly 100 years. So joining us today is Walt Jurgers, who is a member of the Friends of Albert Whitted. Welcome, Walt.
Hey, good morning. How are you today, Rui?
We're doing great. So I literally, when I grew up in downtown St. Pete, I would stand on the corner of 5th Street and 6th Avenue South and look directly at that airport back before anything was built around it. So a lot of my childhood was playing in and around that airport. So I have a lot of questions, right, to ask about the airport. So let's just get started. People, for the longest time, and we'll get into this a little later when we talk about the number of times that people have tried to shut down that airport, but the misconception for years has been that basically this was the airport for just a few wealthy private individuals to keep their planes, right? But really, it's not. So one of the things is during hurricanes or other emergencies, Albert Whitted plays a key role in logistics and relief operations. So how does the airport's location make it especially valuable for disaster response?
Well, that's a great question, Rui. And let me give you two examples. One was Hurricane Ian, which was hit Fort Myers a couple of years ago. And we were okay, but all the roads were wiped out for Fort Myers. So they couldn't get there. So we were flying airplanes with volunteer people volunteer their airplanes and the pilots volunteering their time. And they were taking generators. They were taking water. They were taking the supplies they needed down to Fort Myers because they couldn't get them in by trucks.
Right.
And then we look at that and understand that, yes, the Fort Myers airport got wet. The water came up over it, but as soon as the tide went out, the airport's open, but the roads were washed out. So come to Hurricane Helene we had here last year, and our airport got inundated with water. We had water in hangars that we've never had water in before. The airport was about a third of the way covered. The runway was about a third of the way covered with water. The airport was closed, and two Chinook helicopters come in from the military. And I went over there to find out what they're doing. And they were bringing in the search and rescue teams with their helicopters in the closed airport, bringing the search and rescue teams complete with their dogs, putting them on school buses and taking them out to the beaches to find the people who didn't evacuate when they were told to evacuate. And at the time, the Sunshine Skyway was closed for wind and debris on it that from the storm, and Howard Franklin Bridge was closed. It had debris all over it as well. So we were still able to get relief teams in right downtown St. Petersburg. And that's what those just, they could have cleaned up the bridges, but if they were destroyed, that really leaves us with the place to get supplies in the event of a large hurricane.
And I mean, that's a lot of people obviously, you know, didn't know that history that happened here last year. And that's always been the issue with our city. I mean, we are a peninsula on a peninsula on a peninsula, right? So it's, you learned how to spell peninsula at a very young age here in St. Pete, right? But that it did serve as an important lifeline, right, to a lot of folks.
Exactly.
That you couldn't get here. So the airport, you know, economically, it's estimated that the airport has about $128 million annual impact on the city. But beyond those numbers, right, so what kind of jobs and businesses rely on that airport today?
Well, in addition to the some 300 jobs that are on the airport for the people who work on the airplanes or flight instructors or they're the charter department, they fuel the airplanes, beyond the obvious ones, the avionics and what have you, there are many businesses who keep their airplanes there so they can live in St. Petersburg. And I know of three people who get in their airplane every morning and fly to the other coast or down to South Florida to do their business, and then they're home at the end of the day bringing their money back here to St. Pete to support our economy. There's another gentleman who just moved his business to St. Petersburg because of Albert Witted Airport, where he can go wherever he needs to go and still live in St. Petersburg, where the place that he chooses to live. So there's a lot more use of the airport by people with businesses who are not really on the airport, but live in the city.
Gotcha. But there are some really cool businesses there, like, for instance, the flight school, right?
The flight school is amazing.
Yeah. So, living my whole life in the city, I always say, next year I'm going to go there and learn how to fly, right? I started saying that about 40 years ago, and I'm still saying, next year I'm going to go there and learn how to fly. So Albert Witted, it's designated by the FAA, right, as a critical reliever airport. So for listeners who might not really know what that means, how does the airport relieve pressure on larger hubs like St. Pete Clearwater or Tampa International?
Well, that's another really good question, Rui, and it sort of relates back to your talking about the flight school. So the flight school is where people learn how to fly, and we know there's a shortage of pilots globally right now. So our flight school is very, very busy. And the students flying out of St. Petersburg Albert Witted Airport can get about 25% more flying done per hour than if they worked at if they were to fly out of St. Pete Clearwater Airport, because out there you have Allegiant Air, you have UPS, and you have a lot of large airplanes, and so those smaller training aircraft have to wait, and for weight turbulence, it's called, from the large airplanes, they have to wait 3 minutes before they can take off if one of the big ones takes off.
Gotcha.
And then if they're going to stay in the traffic pattern and learn how to fly, they have to fly a real big traffic pattern because of the larger airplanes and what they're doing.
Right.
Albert Witted is just ideal for training. And so we have a lot of that going on right at that airport. Does that help you?
It does. Yeah. And it's funny because when we talk about the history of training there, mm-hmm. we always talk about World War II, right? Because we've got these amazing photos of P-40s taking off from Albert Witted, but you never think about the number of pilots that train there now.
Yeah. Right? Well, in Tampa International, you cannot, as a student pilot, fly into Tampa International Airport. So it's the reliever airport for Tampa International. And it's part of the FAA considers it part of the national airspace system. They need Albert Witted to keep clear, not have the smaller airplanes going into PIE and over to Tampa.
Gotcha.
They keep them over here. It keeps it uncongested. It's a great system.
So, we talked about the flight schools, but over the years, Albert Witted has become home not just to general aviation, right, and charter services, but it's created community programs like the Young Eagles. So how has the airport evolved into an educational hub?
The education, the Albert Witted Airport is like a petri dish for STEM training for young kids. And what a lot of people don't realize is there are several of the schools that bring kids to Albert Witted Airport to when they're studying basic machines, pulleys and levers and what have you, and they take them out into the shop and they have the airplanes open where they can see if they rotate the control wheel, the lever, that it moves the cable that goes around the pulley, and then they can see it move the control surface, so they're getting a lot of STEM training. There's about 1,000 kids a year come in for that purpose at all, exclusively. Friends Albert Witted also has what we call Aerospace Day, where we bring in NASA scientists, we have astronomers come in, and we take them, the Coast Guard comes in with their, this year they did brought their helicopters in. They have the drones off their boats so they can show the students what they're doing with drones so they can get them interested. And we find that it's really easy to spark interest in kids that are 12 to 16 year olds if you give them something interesting to look at and to study.
Does Bayflight still use Albert Witted?
Bayflight uses it. There's three helicopter services use it. Johns Hopkins keeps their airplane there full time. They do all their maintenance there.
So let's get to the biggest question, right? And let me preface this by back during, during the time of COVID when the museum was closed, we were very fortunate that we were able to keep our staff intact. And our archives and collections section of the museum was recataloging a lot of the things that we have. We've been there for over 100 years, so we've collected a lot of stuff in those 100 years. So we were photographing and properly cataloging everything, and our archivist came across a map. It was the third part of a three-section map that was done back in 1926. So this is before the airport was open, yet most of the land had already been dredged. It was a downtown waterfront master plan that was drawn up by the group that came down to St. Petersburg and tried selling this idea of this waterfront master plan to the city, and then they were going to build it, of course. So the section that we had on display at the museum for a while had the South Yacht Basin, which is the water obviously right in front of the current Dali Museum, and then this gigantic chunk of land where Albert Witted sits today, and on that gigantic chunk of land was a Major League Baseball stadium for spring training. So that was like back in 1926 they were thinking of that. That's, of course, the year after the Yankees arrived, so they wanted this big fancy this big fancy stadium, right? So I bring that up because past administrations, including the current administration actually early on, basically had their staff look at other uses for that land that the airport sits on. Many times, you know, citing safety reasons, right? So just a quick story. Earlier in my career, like it seems like 100 years ago, I had the honor of working as the media marketing director for the Suncoasters, right, the group that used to put on the Festival of States, the South's largest civic celebration. Our office was actually located on a building that no longer exists, but it was on currently the USF campus on First Street facing the airport. And my office was on the second floor of that building. I'd be sitting there, and then I'd look out the window because you'd hear something, and you see a wingtip like right next to the window as it was coming into land, right? Mm-hmm. So why? I mean, the airport's been there for nearly 100 years. It's got a tremendous amount of uses. We know it's valuable land, so that, I guess that is the why, right? But you guys have fought. So this is where I want you to tell us a little bit about what Friends of Albert Whitted actually is, because there's, you know, every time a mayor has brought this up in the past, it, you know, it's pretty much been soundly defeated by the folks here in St. Pete because we love that airport, right? Mm-hmm. So why? Why do you think this goes on?
Well, it's interesting, but let me divide the two pieces.
Sure.
So Friends of Albert Whitted is not a fight. We're an education. We're educating the community of the value of the airport. There's another group called the Airport Advisory Committee that did the fight back in 2000 and 1980. It's about a 20-year cycle is what we see,
okay,
is where the administration comes in and thinks they see it. Another use for that airport. And we've interviewed for our documentary the past five living mayors and the current mayor. And with that, we, of course, ask them that question. And some of the mayors, when they first come in, they look at it and they think it's low-hanging fruit. They think that it's a big open area that they could that's being underutilized, until they get in and they dig down and they find out the facts. The fact is it used to be an island, and they just dredge stuff up on it so it'd be hard to put a tall building on it and have any sort of structure underneath it, one. Second, it's in the charter to be an airport forever. You know, that's how it, or in perpetuity. And then they understand that the FAA has it as part of the National Airspace System and a reliever airport, and they don't want it to go away. So once they, and then they start realizing all the good that it offers the community, and then they get the idea and they back off. And when they had the election, or the last, what do they call those, when they took the vote on it to see,
the referendum,
72.59% voted that they wanted to have Albert Whitted Airport as an airport forever. And so that sort of speaks volumes to politicians, and so they sort of get the idea of how that works.
Well, I think that, you know, because as you discussed, I mean, the airport has, you know, this amazing value in so many ways, and we learned one of the most important values last year during the hurricanes. But to the general, you know, the average resident of St. Petersburg, it's just a cool place to go watch planes take off and land.
Well, it is. It is. When they built the pier, they have a little triangle off the side where you can step out of the main deal so you can go take photographs and watch the airport.
I mean, the hangar restaurant obviously is a great you know, viewing place for those planes. And I got to be honest, so, you know, we do a historical boat tour with Tampa Bay Watch that goes around the airport, and I can be in the middle of, like, the most riveting speech ever, and as soon as a plane decides to take off, everybody just turns and starts watching the plane take off or land. So it's a pretty amazing sight. So you mentioned documentary, and you mentioned that your organization's, your job is to educate the people about the airport. So we're really excited about this documentary, and I know that the group that, you know, was that group that's technically putting it together, you know, spent a lot of time in our archives searching photographs and things like that. So we're really honored to be a part of this. So tell us what this is going to be and when hopefully it's going to be released.
Okay, and then Friends Albert Wood was created in September of 22. So we're celebrating our third birthday this month. And one of the things we decided we want to do to educate the community was to create a documentary to document the facts about the airport. And I want to thank you and the Museum of History of working with us and letting us go through your archives. And we worked out a deal to be able to use that stuff in our documentary. We also did it with Heritage Village from Pinellas County. And we went through everybody's junk drawers, their garages, their nightstands, and they dug out all of the paraphernalia they could find about Albert Wood at Airport as far back as we could go. And we learned this, Rui. A lot of us have been around there forever, but we didn't. Every one of us learned something we didn't know before. And a lot of times we had a myth of something that we thought was true, but then we find a documentation to make it that myth not right. And so now this documentary is going to be the factual based documentation of the documentary of the history of the waterfront in downtown St. Petersburg and Albert Wood at Airport with all documented facts. It's got the videos from the city council meetings. It's got the newspaper clippings from forever and a whole lot of stuff out of your archives.
Well, we're excited. We can't wait to see this, and it's going to be coming up pretty soon, right?
It's October 28th is its premiere. Okay. At 7 o'clock at night. If they go to our website, foawa.org, friendsalbertwittedairport.org, foawa.org, and just when you see documentary, click on that, and it'll drop down. It says register for the premiere. We're doing it on the 28th at 7 o'clock at night, and the 29th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Fantastic. So, well, listen, I want to thank you so much for joining us today on Historically St. Pete and sharing this unique piece of St. Pete history that hopefully now everybody will have some clarity on this airport, right? So I want to invite everyone to tune in weekly to RadioSt.Pete.com for Historically St. Pete and or to stop by the St. Pete Museum of History on your next visit to the pier and explore the rich and unique history of the Sunshine City. You can visit HistorySt.Pete.org for more details on our exhibits and events. Thanks for listening and join us next week on Historically St. Pete.